Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope it's a good morning for you. We certainly need this liquid sunshine, but I think we're kind of a desert zone here. It really didn't rain that much here. I mean, there's not any many puddles out there. I know. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive our sins, and bring us to everlasting
life.
Amen. There. You know, you don't want to make those kind of mistakes, you know, because I'm on TV. And the liturgical police will say, well, he's not even competent anymore. Huh. How many are watching now? What are you telling me? We have like 900 people or whatever?
No, there's 1,030 subscribers.
1,030. Don't do that. Where should they be?
Here.
How many would be here if they were here? We could expand the church. You see, if you don't come, you don't have to bring an envelope. You can't mail it in, folks. You can't mail it in. This is starting off all wrong, but maybe this is the path to go today. It's attention, really. You know how many people used to come to church here. I mean, I've been here a long time. I hope I wasn't the one that had driven them away. But in the years I'm here, I mean, really, literally, off the top of my head, what's 30 times 20?
600.
We've done at least that many funerals in 20 years. Probably a third of those people used to come to church. That's where some of them went. We lost almost a full third of our people during COVID. And now they're all online. Is it a complaint? You know, maybe, you know, yeah, maybe it is. And no offense to anybody, especially the people that are listening. If you need to be online, God bless you. And we're not the only parish. There's a number of parishes that still do the online. And really, by all measure, it's a good thing. But it doesn't do justice to what the reality of our faith is, does it? We're not quite to the chapter yet, but in a week or two, we're using Father Ron Ulheiser's The Holy Longing. The book was written in 1999, and it was on the bestseller list for almost 10 years. Well, we're coming up to a chapter, I think it's the next chapter we're going to read, and one of the non-negotiables of the Christian life is community. Nobody gets to heaven on their own. Nobody. We need one another. And we're better together than we are apart. And again, I have, you know, really, there's no judgment. I mean, probably 5 years ago or so now, I read an article in Priest Magazine, and, you know, they did surveys, as they always do, and people finally admit, well, you know, really, I know I got lazy. I don't go because, well, it's just so much more convenient. God bless you, really, God bless you. But we miss you, and you probably miss us. You just don't know it. I did actually say most of those things, but not quite in that same way last evening. Because for some reason, and I wrote this article a couple of weeks ago. I try to stay a couple of weeks ahead. And anyways, how about that closing line to the gospel? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? I'm going to say yes. How about you?
Yes.
Yeah. Who's going to have it? You. Me. But the idea is that we spread it around, right? Now, if there was only 8 or 10 or 30 people on a Sunday here, would you keep coming? No. Oh, nobody does that anymore. And a lot of people think like that now. Oh, we don't do those old things anymore. Besides, it's more convenient to do it from home. That's not church. That's not community. Actually, you know, I mean to be very, actually quite hopeful today. That probably doesn't sound very hopeful yet. If you had a hopeful meter, and the highest hope was, let's say, 100, and not so hopeful was like 0, oh, don't answer out loud, because somebody will ask you, how hopeful are you? How hopeful are you in Christ? Now, that's going to be a different answer if I say, how hopeful are you if you read the news? If you watch CNN or Fox, or you read the sports section on Monday morning. But if you believe in Christ, where is your hope? Because that's kind of the final answer, right? Do you realize he rose from the dead? I know you know the right answer, right? How much difference is that making in our lives? None of us is going to be here forever. Anybody want to be here forever? I can't wait for my 468th birthday. That sounds weird. We're spiritual beings. And the divine itself is a trinity of persons. One God expressed in three ways of being. God in the divine nature is, of its nature, a community. And each plays their role, one God, each plays their role in the reality of our redemption. We need one another. It's pretty common psychologically that in times of trouble, and trouble of any size, shape, flavor, or form, big or small, in times of trouble and temptation, we're inclined to kind of circle the wagons, as the phrase goes, put up our best defenses, and whether the problem is large or small, personal, familial, family, national, global, international, whatever, the inclination is to still want to try to solve it ourselves. At the end of the day, the readings today really are about prayer. As the gospel made very clear, Jesus told his disciples about the necessity of prayer and always praying without becoming weary. How's that working out? You doing all right with that? Are you praying every day? That was overwhelming. Yeah. Are you praying God's will or for your own personal consolation? You got to pray bigger than that. I pray for my consolation, but I got to pray bigger than that too. People come up to me all the time, Father, can you pray for this? Can you pray for that? This one's ill. This one needs prayer. This one, this. Yeah, I will. Let's pray. You know, let's do that. And, you know, then I pray for them. And then I bring them to the altar and I put them in the cup. You ever hear that phrase? You put them in the cup. You put them in the cup of the precious blood. You see the expansion of that prayer? If I can just say one little prayer, nice. No, thank you, Father. But if I put them in the cup, then not only are we collectively, because we all share from the table, but we're putting it in God's hands, which is exactly why we pray through Christ our Lord. In the Spirit, through Christ to the Father. The communion, community of God, is hearing and receiving all our prayers through Christ our Lord. Because he became incarnate, died and rose, and gave us new life, here and now, right now. I know on a rainy Sunday, it doesn't feel like we're too redeemed, right? But we're spiritual beings. So the readings, by nature, are quite hopeful. But if we close in on ourselves, we will be more inclined to fear and doubt, and there will be increased worry and more of a sense of being alone. Again, depending on the nature of the problem, we begin to mistrust. We begin to doubt ourselves, mistrust ourselves and others. Suspicion grows, judgment increases, fear grows. And again, we circle in so that I'm safe or my circle is safe. Those are natural and normal things. So it's a good reminder for us as a people of faith that we're strong when we're together, mindful whether we're here collectively or not. We share the common mind in the heart of Christ, and all of us are on a journey to the Lord here and hereafter. We're blessed not only with the providence and the promise of God's care, But we also have the love and support of this faith community. And you say, well, Father, that's nice. Well, again, I've been here long enough. I see how good you are. I know many of you are related by marriage. Many of you are best friends. And maybe, well, you're just church friends. But you're a generous community. I mean, look at that pile of candy back there that's going to the seminary in a couple weeks so that they can give candy to about a couple thousand people. Yesterday was Mercy Day. Maybe that's why. I feel pretty good today, really. But it was a busy day yesterday. There was a funeral. I set up an adoration. We set up the adoration. It was Mercy Day. And at least I was told, I don't have official numbers, but I was told they made 200 peanut butter sandwiches. Yeah. 300 snack bags. And I forget how many were praying the rosary. What number was that? 30 or something prayed the rosary? So that's 50 Hail Marys and all the other prayers of the rosary times 50. That's a lot of Hail Marys. Someone shared with me once about their prayer, you know, and, well, okay, what do we do, Lord? What do we do about the troubles in the world and these personal problems that I have and my family and my kids? You know, Lord, what should I do? I mean, how do I can't pray all day. One Hail Mary, the Lord said to this person. One Hail Mary. Wow, one little Hail Mary? Yeah, one little Hail Mary. And if you really want to be brave, say a trinity of Hail Marys. But Jesus said just one. So if, I don't know, I think there was maybe, was there 30? What was that number yes they gave us yesterday? How many prayed the rosary?
There were about 20
during
the rosary.
20. I'm talking about the rosary. I know there were 48 other things going on. And there really was a lot going on. Were you there? Man, you missed out. Do you see how collectively the community, okay, so let's say there were 20. What's 20 times 3? Why did I say 3? 20 times 50. There's 50 Hail Marys, right? 10 times 5, plus the Our Father and the other prayers. If God can do a lot with one Hail Mary, how much can he do with all those? That's the power you have. That's the power we have collectively. And your Hail Marys, whether you're saying a Hail Mary, whatever your prayers are, you're important. Your life matters. Your faith matters. Your prayer matters. And it's necessary and important and quite personally enriching when we remind ourselves that we are a part of a community. Because we are. We need one another. And we receive that strength of a community. And really, it reminds me, it was a couple of weeks ago, we heard from the prophet Habakkuk, I'm sure you remember. He had a similar time as our time now. He had a similar time around the time of Isaiah, 750 or so years before the birth of Christ. Countries were conquering one another, and Israel was always the one getting beat up on. And Lord, violence and violence, I cry out, but you do not hear. You do not give answer, he says. He's a prophet of the Lord. He's a mouthpiece for God, and it seems like God's not even listening to him. So finally, he had to sit down and clear his head and find his heart, and he pleaded to the Lord, as we need to do. Don't just rattle your prayers on every day, well, that's what I do, and well, I'm done now, so I'm going to go on and do something else. That we focus ourselves, and we focus on Christ in ourselves, so that we are quite mindful, that we are quite actively, in the Spirit, praying through Christ our Lord. So from that first reading, excuse me, before I get to that, Habakkuk. And the Lord answers his prayer. But it wasn't just for him, it was for the whole community. Because the whole community, perhaps not unlike ourselves, they're fearful of all the things going on in the church and in the world. He says, this is the message, but it's not just for you. I want you to write this down, and I want you to post it so people can see it, because that message itself will lift them up with consolation and hope, knowing that I am still with them. So what is the message? Write down the vision clearly so it can be read readily, for the vision has its time. It presses on to fulfillment. It will not disappoint. It will not delay. Wait for it, for it will surely come, and it will not be late. Interestingly, it doesn't seem like he actually said what the vision or fulfillment was. What's the fulfillment? I just said it 2 weeks ago. I'm sure you remember. It's Jesus. You see, we're in the already and the not yet. Already we're saved, redeemed in the dying and the rising of the Lord Jesus. But we're not yet in its fulfillment. Pretty obvious there, looking at the church and the world. But that work of redemption has already been completed in the dying and the rising of Jesus, and it is now our role, literally, to be Christ in the world by our prayer, by our common love for one another, and the community we share in the power of the Spirit. I'm quite edified again. They said, man, you probably had, 40 extra jars of peanut butter yesterday? What are we going to do with 40 jars of peanut butter? We can hand them out on the street corners. I know, sounds silly, but we'll find somewhere to give them. We'll give them away. And they all came from you. You're generous. You're doing it. I'm just trying to encourage you and build you up. I've had many people in the last many months, and it's over a year now or so, Father, what are we going to do? The church, the world, you know, politics and wars and all of it. You know, I said, yeah, I know. What are we going to do? We're going to pray. And as I've been saying, through COVID and beyond, we're praying God's will, not my will, not your will, but God's will. God has a will. And the will of God is Jesus. But we have to be the agency of Christ in the world. The hands, the feet, the mouth, you know, the service, etc. I don't know how you hear that word of Habakkuk, but I at least have to say it's a powerful word. So that through thick and thin, I mean, I guess the good side of it is we've all lived long enough that we've seen the cycles of a generation turn, you see. I mean, when you and I were kids, did you ever think the world would look like this now? No. The only thing that is most certain is change. How many times have I used the example? I think it was in 1957. Something like that. I was 6. Wasn't shaven yet. And we got our first TV. And we used to watch Ed Sullivan. Now, do you think if my parents knew what was going to be on TV like today? 1,500 channels on cable. You think they would have bought a TV? Not in your life. But look where we are. And we say, oh my God, I can't live without it. Where's Jesus there? You see, all the changes, even in 50 or in this case 70 or so years, all the changes. But Christ remains eternal, patient, and everlasting. So that fulfillment, even though it seems like it's delaying and it's late, it will not delay. It will come. If it's late, wait for it. Because, odd as it sounds, do we not have to help God help us? Do we not have to help God, now we being Christ in the world, to bring forth the kingdom of God? Absolutely. Because you and I are Christ in the world. Moses was the Christ figure of the Old Testament. A couple of basic examples, I mean, go into it all, but was it not Moses who struck, and the Lord said, strike the rock with the staff. He strikes the rock, and what comes out? Water. That's an action of Christ. The rock represented Christ, and the water represented baptism. What did Moses do at the Red Sea? He struck the water because the Lord said, strike the water with your staff, and the water split again. God's rescuing, saving them in their divine providence. It's another image of baptism. So even Moses, as the Christ figure in the Old Testament, humbles himself and has to accept the help of Aaron and Hur, H-U-R, because as they traveled through Israel for 40 years, they didn't have GPS. Boy, they could have used it then, don't you think? 40 years they traveled through that little country about the size of Michigan, and they just couldn't find their way through. But as they followed through these different areas of the country, they had to go through different tribes and peoples and lands, and they all would get into these fights because they were overtaking land. And, no, you can't stay here. Get out of here. And these fights would take place. And so Moses is out there, And when he kept his hands up in prayer and praise, the Israelites won, and when he got tired, they were not doing so well. How long can you lift your arms in praise? I might last a minute and a half. But he did it all day. And so Aaron and Hur rolled some rock, and he sat on the rock, and they held his arms up for him. Community. None of us can do it by ourselves. Did not Jesus himself accept the help of Simeon to help him carry that cross? If we think we can do it by ourselves, well, this is my church and my seat and my place, and you know, good luck with that. Nobody gets to heaven on their own. We need one another. The woman in the gospel, she made her problem, her situation public. And the judge probably was getting bad popularity ratings, so he's always like, I got to get rid of this woman if you're sure she ruins my life. Don't be that guy. No reverence for God and no care for other human beings. There's a few people out there like that, don't you think? Don't answer that out loud. Well, there is. Don't be like that. But he realizes, you know, I've got to give her a just response. Otherwise, it's going to end badly for me. The point is that she persisted in the weariness of her long years of prayer, and finally, God favored her with a positive answer. She remembered her dependence on God and her persistence in prayer, and finally, she was blessed. There's no doubt that personal prayer is powerful and indispensable in the Christian life. But it is equally clear and true that the community is a tremendous source of strength and hope. So that when we leave in a little while, we bring Christ with us, we bring the relationships that strengthen and encourage us, and we continue our prayer and put into action our prayer. There's a story, it's going to come up in the Rollheiser book. A young woman entered a religious community. She was seriously thinking of wanting to be a nun. And all the nuns, all the sisters there were really happy that they had a young one. And she stayed there for a year and a half, whatever it was. And one of the elderly sisters, I really like her. I really hope she stays. But the elderly nun never went up to the young one and said, I really like you. I really appreciate you. I hope God blesses your vocation. So eventually the younger woman left. And it was because nobody encouraged her. Everybody kind of lived on their own. And, well, I'm here and I'm doing my prayers and I really like her. But no one went and said, we're so glad you're here. We're praying for you. We hope that God is calling you to our community. But nobody acted and said that to her, so she left. That can happen too. But in our readings, Moses and the woman with her legal case, they involved and invested in the community, and they had a good outcome. I remember the story of, I always liked Isaiah Thomas, basketball player, Detroit Pistons. I don't even watch the Pistons anymore. But anyways, he grew up on the south side of Chicago, and I've used this example many times. You know those 4-inch strike matches? You know how easy they are to break. They're soft because then they burn quickly. But if you took 30 of those, or as many as you could hold here, you take 30 of those and try to break them. Very hard to break. And so his mother, the mother of Isaiah Thomas, said, one match, easy to break. Many matches, very difficult to break. It's an image of community. Together, we're strong. Together, we are in Christ. And whether we're walking out the door with hand in hand or arm in arm, as we disperse to our own way, place, and state in life, the community is still with us, in spirit and in truth. You are in Christ. We are in Christ as a people and as a group. Trust others, and not only let God love you, let others help you. You help others. And then the bonds of community strengthen, and the evidence of Christ is stronger in the world, and we'll all be better for it. Praise God. Come, Holy Spirit.